And now it's time for Madison's Mad Facts with your host, Madison Standish.
Hey, everybody, it's Madison. Welcome to another Madison on the Air bonus feature of Madison's Mad Facts, where we look at the way things were in real life back during these old-timey radio shows. This Mad Facts was released in October 2024 as a Patreon exclusive alongside our adaptation of Inner Sanctum's The Telltale Heart. The subject is the lost years of horror in the Hollywood film industry. It starts at the beginning of movies themselves. True story, I used to work for the studio tour ride at Universal Studios Hollywood. If you've never been there or on the ride, firstly, the bulk of the theme park is built into the mountain. So the studio trams start off and immediately descend down a long road to then access the actual Universal Studios film lot. On that ride down, they have lined the road with posters of some of their top movies dating back to when Universal began. The first poster is from 1914. You immediately are met with one horror movie after another. Phantom of the Opera, Frankenstein, The Mummy, the one with Boris Karloff, not Brendan Fraser. But 90s dude got his own theme park ride. Whatever. My point is, early Hollywood not only embraced the horror genre, but audiences clamored for it. But by 1936, production of horror titles in Hollywood all but dried up. The years of 1937 and 1938 saw almost no U.S.-produced horror content at all. But why? The first factor came about due to the Motion Picture Production Code of 1930, also referred to as the Hays Code, named after Will H. Hays. He was the president of the Motion Picture Producers and Distributors of America, or the MPPDA, which later would become the Motion Picture Association, MPA. Yeah, the folks who put the ratings on the movies. A little bit about that. If you weren't aware, movie ratings are not generated by a government agency, and this was by design. Back when the Hays Code was established, it was the movie industry, during the era of the big, mighty studio heads, who wanted to get ahead of any concerns of federal censorship on movie content. So the MPPDA came up with a set of moral guidelines for films to follow, as a growing public sentiment felt movies were immoral. So a sort of list of don'ts and be carefuls was crafted. And since the MPPDA was part of the studio system, they were then able to self-regulate, avoiding a government or outside agency calling the shots. This made studios more willing to submit their scripts and adjust accordingly to the code. Some of the areas they limited were scenes of passion, pointed profanity, sexual perversion. In the 1930s, that meant adultery. Dancing with indecent moves, and even portraying crime or criminals in a sympathetic light. Because besides horror movies being popular, so were gangster films. In general, these guidelines weren't strongly adhered to. But it was when the Great Depression hit that any talk of code of morality in movies was blatantly ignored. Fighting to get audiences in a time of financial struggle, studios found if they pushed moral boundaries, they could attract big audiences. Then, in between 1933 and 1934, the Catholic Legion of Decency, along with a number of Protestant and women's groups, launched a boycott of films that they felt were immoral. At that time, the MPPDA created a division called the Production Code Administration, or PCA, and put Joseph Breen at its head. Up until then, all of the self-censorship wasn't binding. But now with the PCA and Breen in command, no film was permitted distribution that wasn't approved by the PCA, and producers and studios faced heavy fines if they tried to circumvent the process. This bowing down to the restrictions set forth by the PCA for the next three decades would become business as usual in Hollywood, launching Breen himself into an inordinate amount of power, rejecting scripts, demanding edits on completed films, or simply refusing to allow them to be shown. And you probably aren't going to be surprised to learn Breen didn't like horror movies. Breen completely restricted any depictions of potential brutality or gruesomeness. Basically the definition of a horror film. And he was further known to denounce the entire genre of horror as immoral. Hollywood tried to work within the code with their horror films, But the further discouragement of the genre came in what was propagandized as the British horror ban. In the early 1930s, Britain had put stronger restrictions on content in foreign-made horror films. But Breen took this idea and ran with it. While the true ban was very loose and didn't truly restrict the importation of foreign-made horror films, Breen spread misinformation so well through the U.S. press that suddenly it was common knowledge in Hollywood that Britain had banned the release of any horror films. Breen then insisted that without the British market, the films would lose money and become financial failures, arguing that the production of horror films in Hollywood would be detrimental to the studios. So they stopped making them. Then a rebirth of Hollywood horror began, thanks to a desperate movie theater owner. Emil Ullman was facing bankruptcy and trying to find something to outshine his competitors. So in 1938, he offered a triple feature playing the original Dracula, Frankenstein, and Son of Kong films all on one ticket, luring the audiences in with, "We dare you to see them all together." This publicity stunt paid off more than he could have imagined. It became apparent that audiences hadn't gotten a distaste for horror films. It actually was quite the opposite, with the re-releases outperforming the original releases of the films. Universal, now with proof their horror library was something audiences wanted, greenlit Son of Frankenstein in 1939, steadfast not to let Joseph Breen and his code do anything to stop the release. The film was a huge success, even in Britain. So, as the new decade of the 1940s began, horror was back. But the genre had one more battle on the horizon. By the late 1940s, horror took a drop in popularity. This time around, it wasn't Breen or any kind of morality code. Audiences had lost interest in the monster films. For a while, the end of World War II was blamed for this new shift in tastes, believing audiences who had spent the war years around enough real horror no longer wanted to watch it up on the silver screen. But this logic had one major flaw. Why then, during the war, did audiences seek horror films as escapism from the war? What actually was at play was the post-war world had a different landscape, and the old monster movies or mad scientist films of the past felt dated and not in sync with modern times. Likewise, the iconic actors of the genre were Bela Lugosi and Peter Lorre, who were Hungarian-born and rose to fame originally in German cinema, which left a distaste with American post-war xenophobia. So, from 1947 through 1952, Hollywood studios slowed their production of the genre, with Universal's 1948 Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein as the end of the old horror era. What rose in its place was a new type of horror film that would fit a 1950s Cold War era audience. Science fiction horror. The Red Scare led to the fear and dire warnings crafted in these stories of alien invasions, prophetic scientists, and the threats that may be hidden among us. For more on that, we actually did a whole Madison's Mad Facts from year one about 1950s sci-fi. I'll put the link on Patreon for you guys. Well, it's no doubt horror made a full recovery from those lost years in Hollywood. And while audience tastes always fluctuate from decade to decade, fans and creators alike will continue to embrace the horror genre. Thank you guys so much for listening. These older Mad Facts will be released on the 15th of every month, but you can get the new ones by becoming a Patreon Madison member. Link in the show notes. Okay, bye.